This is Studio 360, and I'm Kurt Anderson.
Thank you, God, for fixing the cataracts of Sam's mom.
Singer-songwriter Tim Minchin is best known for his smart, edgy songs that have fun with subjects like God and destiny.
You only need to pray in a particular spot to a particular version of a particular God. And if you pull that off without a hitch, he will fix one eye of one middle-class white.
And now he's taken on a different kind of serious subject, childhood.
And when I grow up, I will eat sweets every day. On the way to work and I will go to bed late every night.
Minchin wrote the score for Matilda, the new musical that's now on Broadway. It's based on Roald Dahl's novel about this extraordinary girl trying to escape her dismal life. Tim Minchin is here with me now, sitting behind our Studio 360 grand piano. Tim Minchin, welcome.
Thank you, Kurt. Thank you for having me again.
So Matilda is nominated for 12 Tonys. In fact, 12 of the 14 categories in which it was possible to be nominated. Did you grow up reading Roald Dahl?
Yeah. Like, without a doubt, the predominant author of my childhood.
Really? And do you remember your first encounter with Matilda?
Well, Matilda came late. So Matilda was written in 88, by which stage I was in my early teens. But
you read it.
But absolutely. I read it, yeah.
Well, then shortly after, you had this idea at some young age, 23, to, like, let's turn this into a show.
Yeah, I was writing music for children's theatre. In my 20s, I wrote a lot of music for theatre, mostly youth theatre and amateur stuff in Perth, yeah, in my hometown. And I had been writing for a children's theatre company, and I just... At some point, I don't really remember the context of it, but at some point I thought, God, that's got to be a musical. Certainly when I went into a meeting with the director, Matthew Warchus, 10 years later, and he said, have you heard of Matilda? It felt like what fate would feel like if you believed in fate.
Yeah. Dahl is, among other things, one of the only children's book writers who kind of revels in kids being bad in the way kids sometimes are, people sometimes are. And Matilda makes the case for the necessity of sometimes breaking the rules, being bad, being naughty. Now that you have little children, do you still fully believe that idea?
I think my 6-year-old has a problem with this because Matilda says sometimes you have to be naughty. And my daughter says, why is it okay to be naughty? Because naughty really means bad to Violet, my 6-year-old, whereas I guess, you know, as you get a more sophisticated idea of naughty, it sort of means a bit cheeky or rebellious or whatever. But I have to explain to her that Matilda has no options but revenge early in the play. She has to do these little tricks and things because her parents are utterly awful.
And whereas Violet, you have this wonderful daddy and mommy.
You have perfect daddy. and she sort of understands that. But I think the thing about Dahl in most of his books, and the thing that we managed to perhaps capture, is that all the tools you need as a kid to free yourself are inherent in being a child.
Speaking of naughty, can you play it?
Sure, I'll play it for you. This is Matilda's first song.
Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water, so they say. The subsequent fall was inevitable. They never stood a chance, they were written that way. Innocent victims of their story. Like Romeo and Juliet, 'twas written in the stars before they even met. That love and fate and a touch of stupidity would rob them of their hope of living happily. The endings are often a little bit gory. I wonder why they didn't just change their story. We're told we have to do what we're told, but surely sometimes you have to be a little bit naughty. Just because you find that life's not fair, and doesn't mean that you just have to grin and bear it. If you always take it on the chin and wear it, nothing will change. and if you're little, you can do a lot. You mustn't let a little thing like little stop you. If you sit around and let them get on top, you might as well be saying you think that it's okay. And that's not right. And if it's not right, you have to put it right. In the slip of a bolt, there's a tiny revolt. The seed of a war in the creak of a floorboard. A storm can begin with the flap of a wing. The tiniest mite packs the mightiest sting. Every day starts with the tick of a clock. All escapes start with the click of a lock. If you're stuck in your story and want to get out, you don't have to cry, you don't have to shout. Cause if you're little, you can do a lot. You mustn't let a little thing like little stop you. If you sit around and let them get on top, you won't change a thing. Just because you find that life's not fair, it doesn't mean that you just have to grin and bear it. If you always take it on the chin and wearing, you might as well be saying you think that it's okay. And that's not right. And if it's not right, you have to put it right. And nobody else is gonna put it right for me. Nobody but me is gonna change my story. Sometimes you have to be a little bit naughty.
And that was Tim Minchin performing Naughty from his dozen Tony-nominated gigantic international boffo hit musical Matilda, now playing on Broadway.
It's a tiny little gigantic hit.
the London critics loved the show when it opened there. When you were getting ready to bring it to the United States, were there any serious worries about, will they get this? How do we translate this? What do we need to change? Did you change things?
Yeah, there's huge concerns about that because Broadway's a huge thing, and you don't enter into that arena ill-prepared. And there was a lot of discussion about how we make sure American audiences got everything out of it.
Were there Britishisms? Because Matilda's parents, I mean, their awfulness is partly rooted in a certain kind of British class context that you could imagine, ooh, are they Americans going to get this?
Well, there's various layers of this. One is, I guess, the understanding of class and stuff. But as an Australian, I actually don't get that, nor really care. I don't think there's a crassness in the way they speak, which unfortunately does seem to tip its hat towards a particular socioeconomic group or something. But I don't think that's the point. The point is just that the rhythms are brassy. And American audiences know that there's other lexicons out there. They're happy to expand to that. But what you don't want to do is have their brains going sideways to some translation mode when they need to be concentrating on what's happening next. So there are moments when a child says, someone poured a whole can of treacle on, and so we changed it to syrup. And, you know, it's the jumper sweater thing. It's just all we changed were tiny things where we thought they're going to be distracted by this. Let's make sure they're not.
When Matilda, the character, discovers her telekinetic powers, that she can make things float and fly, there's a moment when the song could have gone all Disney and cute. And
it did. The first draft.
Really?
The first draft did. And it was exactly that. The brief was when she first feels this power, this amazing mind of her finally kind of almost spills out into the world, and she tips over a cup initially. It's a very modest act of telekinesis. I was sort of thinking, well, how do we do this? What does she feel about this, and where does it come from? So I wrote a piece that started with her trying to describe this bubbling and boiling and stuff, and that part of the song stayed there. But her conclusion of how she felt when it was done was a moment. The song was called Magical, and it was very, very wrong. It was one of those songs. Even as I sat the director and the writers down and said, this is my draft, I knew it was wrong.
Huh.
And then went through this process. If she doesn't feel magical, does she feel huge? Imagine this tiny kid singing about feeling like a giant. Or imagine a tiny kid who has always felt too big for the space because her mind's so big, saying she finally feels small. Maybe there's a double irony there. And then I settled on the idea that it's peace that she achieves.
Can we hear that song?
Oh, yeah, all right. Thank you.
ever wondered? Well, I have, about how when I say red, for example, there's no way of knowing if red means the same thing in your head as red means in my head when someone says red. And how if we are traveling at almost the speed of light and we're holding a light, that light would still travel away from us at the full speed of light, which seems right in a way, but I'm trying to say I'm not sure, but I wonder if inside my head I'm not just a bit different from some of my friends. These answers that come into my mind unbidden, these stories delivered to me fully written. And when everyone shouts like they seem to like shouting, the noise in my head is incredibly loud, and I just wish they'd stop. My dad and my mum and the telly and the stories would stop for just once. And I'm sorry, I'm not quite explaining it right, but this noise becomes anger, and the anger is light, and the burning inside me would usually fade, but it isn't today. And the heat and the shouting, and my heart is pounding, and my eyes are burning, and suddenly everything is. Quiet. Like silence, but not really silent. Just that nice sort of quiet, like the sound of a page being turned in a book, or a pause in a walk in the woods. Quiet. Like silence, but not really silent. Just that still sort of quiet, like the sound when you lie upside down in your bed. Just the sound of your heart in your head. And though the people around me, their mouths are still moving, the words they are for me cannot reach me anymore. And it is quiet, and I am warm, like I've sailed into the eye of the storm.
Well done. That was Tim Minchin performing his song Quiet from the Broadway musical Matilda. One of my favorite songs in the show is called School Song, which weaves all the letters of the alphabet through the lyrics line by line in order. Now, how did you come to do that? Was that the idea of, oh, an alphabet song? And then you, like, making a crossword puzzle, figured out how to do it?
Yeah, it's quite unromantic, actually, the origin of that. I stole the idea. So I had seen a cabaret show by an incredible songwriter friend of mine called Casey Bonetto in Melbourne, and he had written a love song called The ABC of Love that threaded the sounds of the letters into his lyrics. And I just rang him up and said, I think this is perfect. Can I steal this, or can I compensate you, or where did you get the idea? And he said, all he said was, there's no such thing as a new idea, Tim. And that was it. And Casey's one of the great humans on the planet. So, you know, I've thanked him in the program and in the songbook and stuff, but I always, whenever I have a chance to tell the story, I do, because it's a great idea and it works perfectly for this song.
Before you go, will you play us out?
Oh, sure.
Well, and in the theater, there are hundreds, maybe 1,000 people doing some audience interaction. We've conscripted a small audience so that listeners can get at least a sense of what happens. And so go ahead.
Yeah, right. So I've got everyone sitting around in the studio to yell out letters just so that the listeners can hear what's going on, because it is a bit weird. So I'll count you in, all right? Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Three. And so you think you're able to survive this mess by being a prince or a princess. You will soon see there's no escaping tragedy. And even if you put in heaps of effort, you're just wasting energy, 'cause your life as you know it is ancient history. I have suffered in this jail, have been trapped inside this cage for ages, this living hell. But if I try, I can remember back before my life had ended, before my happy days were over, before I first heard the pealing of the bell. Like you, I was curious, so innocent, I asked 1,000 questions. But unless you want to suffer, listen up and I will teach you a thing or two. You listen here, my dear, you'll be punished so severely if you step out of line, and if you cry it will be double. You should stay out of trouble and remember to be extremely careful.
Why?
Why? Why? Did you hear what he said? Just you wait for Phys Ed. Just you wait for Phys A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y. Just you wait for Phys Ed.
Tim Minchin, thank you very much.
It's in the bum problem.
Matilda the Musical is now on Broadway, and it was nominated for 12, count them, 12 Tony Awards. And you can see a video of Tim Minchin singing and playing our big grand piano here in Studio 360 at studio360.org.
Fazioli Manlio.